this evening that should have been preached on Labor Day, but I didn't think of it on Labor Day. And I came across it last week, and it's an interesting passage because it connects two thoughts that you wouldn't necessarily put together. And it's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9 through 12. Paul begins by talking about love, but then he moves on and talks about something that you wouldn't necessarily think would be connected to a conversation on love. He says, "But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more." In other words, you get that. You love, that's good. Increase in love more and more. Verse 11. "That you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing." Interesting passage, isn't it? He says, you ought to be loving people. You and I are called to be loving people and to increase, to love each other more and more and more. And the way that you love each other is through working. Work is an act of love. Work with your hands, and that is one way that you increase your love to each other. You know, one of the things that should be said far more frequently than it is that the Bible puts a high premium on a good work ethic. And in fact, when you look at the Bible and look at the people that the Bible would hold up as spiritual giants, there are prophets, there are priests among those spiritual giants, but the vast majority of them are simply working men and women. And you can go down the list. Abraham's a farmer. Cain kills Abel. Abel's a farmer. Jacob, although the Bible puts him as a great man of faith, although you and I may question that designation, but Jacob is really a rancher. Joseph is a politician. Ruth works in the field and ends up being a mother. Naomi sort of works in the field. Rahab had an old profession. She comes out of their profession, but she's not a prophet or a priestess. Noah is a boat builder. You and I can just go through the Bible of great men and women of faith, and many of them were men and women who weren't in any clerical capacity, but they were men and women who were workers. And yet the Bible says you and I ought to be like those men and women. Bible says here that when we work, it is an act of love on our part. And when we love people, we inevitably choose to work. Now, it's interesting, first of all, that he would say this, because he says, first of all, when you work, you love people because you don't have to ask people to help you. That's the last phrase there. He said, work so that you may lack nothing. You may lack nothing. And that could mean you may lack nothing, or you may lack or may not need to ask anyone. Sometimes nothing translates as no one in the Greek. And so essentially he says, if you love people, you will try to live in such a way, I will try to live in such a way that I don't have to ask them to do anything, because when I ask them for stuff, then they can't have it for themselves, or they can't help others. One of the great ways that I love people is I live in such a way that I don't have to ask them for anything. I don't have to take from them. Paul is saying that that's an act of love. There's an old documentary, 4 or 5 years old maybe, maybe a little older. It was called The Queen, I think it's The Queen of Versailles. Anybody remember that on Netflix, The Queen of Versailles? Well, here's the story. It started out to be the story of David and Jackie Siegel. They were building the largest mansion in Florida. And I'm not even sure if they got it built. They had 8 or 9 kids. He was like 25 years older than her. It was a second wife, trophy wife kind of thing. But they ended up having 8, 9, 10 kids. They live in this 24,000 square foot house, but it's just too small for 8 or 9 kids, 24,000 square feet. So they're going to build this 90-some thousand square foot house. It's going to cost $100 million. It's going to overlook Disney. It's going to be this great house. David Siegel was the world's largest owner of timeshares. He was the timeshare king, and he was worth over $1 billion. But they started building this house in 2006. The crash comes. Timeshares get hit hard. So the movie was about building the house, the documentary, but now it's about just how does this family survive this crisis as they may lose everything because they're heavily invested in timeshares and the house is sitting over there empty. But the kids and wife, they're living like they got money. But David Siegel, the father, sits in his office all day looking at the bills that are coming in. Everybody else is having a party in the house but David Siegel because he's got to pay for the party. And one of the kids, it's funny because one of the kids puts their head in the door and says, "Daddy, we love you." To which Siegel says, "If you love me, you'll turn off the lights. If you love me, you'll save money. If you love me, you'll turn down the heat. If you'll love me, you'll clean up after yourself." And the Bible says David Siegel isn't that far off. If you love me, you'll work, you'll pull your share so that I don't have to help you. Because if you don't do your work, I have to help you. And that doesn't feel like love to me. It's what the Bible says. Work is an act of love. I remember going home from seminary. I graduated with a master's degree, so I knew it all, 2004. I went home. I was going to work as an associate with my dad. He was nearing retirement, and it was if we wanted to work together, we were running out of time, and that was something I wanted to do in life. So I went home, and the church could only pay me part-time. And I could sort of live on part-time, but I'd have to live in a house mom and dad owned, and that's no good. So I thought, I got to get a job. And I went into this, I was talking to my brother, and he said, "I know a woman who works in mental health. They're always looking to hire people. I'll hook you up. You'll go in. She'll get you a job." So I go in, and I meet with her, and she sends me over to this group home. So I'm going to work in a group home with mentally handicapped folk. And we're sitting there filling out the paperwork, and they're going to pay me $8.25 an hour. And the guy says, "Oh, you got a master's. We'll give you $8.50 an hour." And the irony was not missed on me that I must have been the highest paid college idiot or the lowest paid college idiot in town. Here I am, I got a master's degree, and I'm making $8.50 an hour. And it wasn't fun either. It wasn't like working on a golf course or something. I could do it for that to get free golf, but this is tough work. I'd worked there maybe about 6 months or so, and my boss's job came open, and they asked me if I would apply for it, and they gave me my boss's job. And so I got a nice pay increase. But for 6 months, you just make $8.50 an hour, and it's humiliating. And it's like, I went to college for 7 years to make $8.50 an hour. But you know what? You have to work. You just have to work. It's an act of love. It's not loving to take from your parents. It's an act of love to my father to not bum off him. I can't look him in the eye. He's done too much for me. I can't go in there and say, hey, I need free rent. You can't do that. It's not an act of love. And I knew that because, you know, Dad reached a point in his life and early on in his life, and he's like many of you. He would work 5 days a week, but he had kids, and one of the jobs he had was all day Saturday he would go in, and his job was cleaning brick for them to lay on Monday. They tore down the building, and his job was to go in there with a little chisel and chisel off and get the brick looking nice so that it could be relaid. You just do those kinds of things because it's love not to approach people with your hand out. It's an act of love not to have to ask anybody else to give you what they've earned. The Bible says it's an act of love. You don't have to ask anybody. So let brotherly love increase. I think it's even an act of love if you love the nation to pay your taxes and work where you don't have to constantly be taking from the government. I just believe that. I'm going to sound really self-righteous now, and I don't mean to be, but I guess somebody would say this sounds self-righteous. When I do my mileage for the church, I always round down. I always give the government the benefit of the doubt. If I go 19.6 miles, I put 19. Because I love the government. I don't want to take any more from the government than I have to. They're broke. They're poorer than me. I don't owe $20 trillion. So they're busted. They're broke. And but it's just part of patriotism to do even in the little things what you can for the government. Even though it's the government. But it's the country. And I love the country. You need to do that. Again, and I'm driving this, and I'm beating it hard here, but Paul says one of the ways that you love people is you work so that you don't have to take from them. Another reason why working is an act of love, he says, is because when you work, you'll mind your own business, and that's loving. It's loving to mind your own business. Notice that. He said, verse 9. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another, and indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more in love, that you aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business. It's a great act of love to just stay out of people's business. And you're more likely to stay out of people's business, Paul says, if you work. I mean, we know that with kids, right? If your kids are fighting and they're tattletelling and they can't get along and they're in there mixing it up, what do you do if you're a parent? Doggone it, you go in there and give them a job. You're fighting over stupid stuff. You're fighting over the remote. You go clean over there and you go clean over there. Get working. Get something in your hands. Go to work. It'll help you live peaceably with each other. Paul drives this home. It's sort of comical that he just keeps bringing this up. He says in 2 Thessalonians 3, for when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but they're busybodies. But those who are such, we command and exhort our Lord Jesus Christ that you work in quietness and eat your own bread. Paul's saying it again. Get a job. Get out of everybody's business. Look what he says here. This is a hard passage coming up in 1 Timothy 5. I bet you don't know that the Bible says stuff so straight sometimes. He says here about the widows. He said, if you're going to give money to women, and the church supported widows and orphans, he said, but before you give money to the widows, check them out. He said, if she's brought up children, if she's lodged strangers, if she has washed the disciples' or the saints' feet, if she's relieved the afflicted, if she's diligently followed every good work, give her money. But refuse the younger widows. For when they have begun to grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry. The picture here is that, from what we can gather, oftentimes a husband would die. The young wife would say, I'm never going to marry again. I'm going to make vows to Jesus. I'm going to be committed to Him the rest of my life. I'm never going to remarry. Jesus is sort of going to be my husband. And he says, so after a while, though, they say, oh, that was a bad decision. I think I want to date a little bit. And so they have condemnation because they have cast off their first faith or their first commitment, which was to Jesus. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering around from house to house. And not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things they ought not. He says on down that don't give them money because they need to get married, they need to have kids so that they are busy. Because we all know husbands take a lot of time, kids take more time. He said, if they stay single and you give them money, they're just going to wander around and get in everybody's business. He says, so don't give them any money. They'll go get married, and then they'll have so much work, they can't go around and bother anybody else. Now, that's in the Bible. It's 1 Timothy chapter 5. When you work, the Bible says, it's an act of love, because it helps you stay out of everybody else's stuff. And that's an act of love. Third, it says when you work, you don't have to ask people for stuff. When you work, it helps you mind your own business. But third, when we work, verse 12, we're able to walk properly toward those who are on the outside. When you and I have a good work ethic, it's an act of love to God, because for the people outside who are looking at us and judging God based on how we live, God looks good when we have a good work ethic. Now, every culture has not valued labor. The Romans and the Greeks thought that it was a bit demeaning to have to work with your hands. They thought the smartest people would work with their brains and that kind of nonsense. But in Christianity, all work is important, it's valuable, it's honorable. And particularly even in our culture, because our culture is heavily influenced still by Judeo-Christian values, there's nothing you can do at a job to turn people off to God any more than being a lousy worker. Just can't. I think Adrian Rogers put it this way. He said, if you want to serve God on a job, don't brag, don't nag, don't lag, and don't sag. Don't brag, lag, nag, or sag if you want to honor God on a job. Because there's nothing that turns off people to your God than them having to cover for you because you're a lousy worker. People honor workers, and they honor people who call themselves Christians who have strong work ethics. Teddy Roosevelt was one of our great presidents, and he was thinking about running for a third term as president. And so there were people coming and going at his mansion as he discussed the possibilities of running. And he was trying to round up a lot of support. So he was having senators visit him and representatives and people who could help him if he chose to run. And it was a funny story, a true story. Teddy Roosevelt, that there were a group of senators that came to his house. And Roosevelt was sort of an over-the-top kind of guy. And he said, well, I can't talk. I got to go work. But listen, why don't you guys come down to the barn with me and we'll talk while I work? And he goes into the barn and he puts his jacket up and he rolls up his sleeves. And he says to his servant, he says, where's that hay at that was here? Because he was going to move the hay around. And the guy said, boss, we haven't got that hay put back since the last guy's left. Of course, everybody came. He went down there, acted like he was working, moving the hay. They put the hay back. The next week, he acted like he was working. People honor a strong worker. It's an act of love to God to represent him well, the Bible says. And the way that we represent him well, one of the ways is that we develop a strong work ethic, the Bible says. The Bible says, if you love, you'll work. If you love, you won't be lazy. If you love, you'll mind your own business. If you love God, you'll represent him well, and that involves working. You know, when you're a kid, you think work is some form of punishment. We had our kids clean up their bedroom a few years ago, and Livy was probably, I don't know, 5 or 6, and she was having to sort her clothes, and we heard her say in the bedroom, this is so demeaning. It's a big word for a little girl. And, you know, if you work or if you get assigned chores or if you have to do something, you're a kid, you think it's some kind of punishment. It's not. Work is a great thing. Adam wasn't the first worker. God was the first worker. And by the way, his first job was creating and gardening. That was God's first work. There in the garden, then he passes that job off to Adam. Work is not a punishment for sin. You know, oftentimes we think, well, you know, Adam was punished because when he sinned, the Bible said he had to work, he had to get food from the sweat of his brow. Work got corrupted when Adam sinned, and it became harder because it was a lot easier to work in the garden. Managing the garden was a lot more pleasant than being out there digging and having to plant the trees in the garden. You had all that stuff. You could just pick the fruit. But out there, you got to plant it. You got to grow it. And so there was a sense in which the strenuous nature of work has something to do with sin. Our work is often frustrated. It's a result of sin that even as we work, so much of the things that we do fall apart and they aren't lasting like they would be if sin hadn't corrupted the world. So there is a part, but originally Adam was still working. God was still working before the fall in the garden. It's not punishment then. When we work, we join in with what God is doing. And you know, it's very easy. If you're working a menial job or a hard job to say, I don't know how this is an act of love for anybody. But if you think about it, I guess there are a few jobs that don't benefit other people. I don't know that bootlegging benefits anybody. But almost every job I can think of, even though it's hard, even though it doesn't seem to be an act of love necessarily, I mean, it's an act of love in that you're making a living and you don't have to ask people for stuff and that kind of thing. But most every job you and I do is benefiting other people in some way. And that's an act of love in and of itself. My family and I are going to get in the van, and on Wednesday, we are going to start our vacation, and we're going to go down to Fripp Island, which is down near the southern part of South Carolina. And the people making that highway probably didn't think of it as an act of love. There's a lot of tar. It's hard work. It's hot. Brutal. Working on a highway doesn't look like the easiest job in the world. It's a It's a tough job. It's a strong, you got to be strong to do that kind of work. But you know what? It's going to save us hours to get to where we're going. And everybody that travels that road is going to benefit and prosper by the work that people did years and years and years and years ago. That work is benefiting thousands of people a day. It's helping people. You install air conditioning. You say, I'm an air conditioner repairman. It's an act of love. You're making lives better. You're a builder. Man, that's an act of love. Families dream about their house. They put all these hopes and dreams, and then you make it happen. That's an act of love. You're helping people. You work in a grocery store. Thank God you're open. Thank God you're there. Thank God you're there on third shift so that that poor father who's out of diapers and it's 2 a.m. and he's got to go get them. There you are. What an act of love to be standing there at that counter. As we create, as we sustain, it doesn't always feel like, you know, I'm standing here and I'm doing this because I love society, I love people. But almost every job, even beyond what we've mentioned, is benefiting, it's making lives easier, it's making dreams come true, lives of people. So the Bible says we ought to be workers. Got to be workers. If you love people, if you care about people, the Bible says, you'll develop a strong work ethic. Because that is one of the primary ways that you demonstrate love practically to people. Again, they don't have to take care of you. That's an act of love on your part. You stay busy. You stay out of trouble. That's an act of love. Stay out of everybody's way. That's an act of love. You and I are able to create things that benefit other people. We sustain organizations that are of benefit to others. That's an act of love. And we represent God because people look at us and they admire hard workers. And it is very hard to witness to anybody if they think you're lazy. If they think you're lazy on the job, if they think you're a slacker, save your witnessing. Save your witnessing. It's not going to be effective. But as we work, the gospel goes forward, and God is glorified, and in turn, we are demonstrating love to God. I don't know that that inspires anybody tonight. Maybe I shouldn't have preached it after all, even on Labor Day. But I found it to be interesting, because we don't often connect those two things, love and work, but the Bible says, no. Put them all together. You're talking about the same thing. Talking about the same thing. Will you stand with me?